I have something very important to ask you, and this is how we will end this episode. Do you think that there are more doors or wheels in the world?
Let's go home.
Lauren, you know how I know we're old?
How do you know we're old?
I just got a Gmail calendar invite
to what?
For a trip to Vegas for our miniature spring break we're taking.
That's not old.
Someone sent me a Cal invite for the party.
As they should. As they fucking should.
Welcome back to Wild Till Nigh.
Truly.
PM.
Wild Till Nigh.
Just make sure you put a block in the calendar for sleep.
It is literally 8:21. So, I mean, we would never give the Tillys a 39-minute podcast.
But we could talk at 1.5 speed and then just slow it down.
Oh, you're right. You're right. So we could turn down by 9.
You know, I am, as someone who speaks fast, I also like to listen fast. Mm-hmm. And as someone with ADD, I will interrupt you when you're saying a point where I think that I know what you're about to say. Yep. I'll just fill it in and just like start railroading because yeah. I'm like yeah, that.
Yep.
And it really does give me a small amount of just like gratification when I see somebody in the comments go, this is the only podcast I listen to at 1 speed.
Oh yeah. I mean, we deliver the pace of a 1.25, right. I think.
You look at stuff to do. So when we do an hour podcast, we're really doing closer to an hour and a half.
You're so right. Yeah. Maybe no, probably like an hour 20. We're probably doing like an hour 20 realistically.
How do you feel like that math worked out? You tried to do the math exactly. And I just wanted,
that was tough.
How
that
do you 12. Feel like it went?
So that does end up an hour 20, so 80 minutes, and then,
You
know what? Not too far off, though, if they're listening at 1.25.
Right.
Not too far off.
Right.
Not too far off.
The fun thing about math, and I don't think it's that fun, but people that like math think it's fun, is that you're either right or wrong.
Oh, yeah, I fucking hate math. Fucking hated math.
Well, that's why it sucks in high school, because it's not like you're right or wrong. You're right if you do it right and can prove and show that you did the work.
No,
right.
Okay. But as someone who was like, I was like a hardcore like studier because like math did not come easy to me. I'm sorry, who has a university degree in? I just wanna. Anyways, academics. I studied and so I knew all the formulas, just sometimes I couldn't fucking get the right number. But if you were to get 10 points of an equation, I could get maybe 7 or 8 points because if I got most of the way there, but just couldn't finish it and couldn't get the right answer. But the show your work bullshit, I was able to get a few points. And that is probably the sole reason that I passed grade 11 functions.
I don't know if I ever was in a math class where they gave me points for knowing what to do and fucking up towards the end.
Really? For showing your work and like knowing the equation? No. What the fuck?
Math, right? Wrong.
Oh my God.
By the way, it's not like I'm
backing.
It's
so mean.
It is mean.
Yeah, that's really mean.
It is mean. And yes, I do have a calculator in my pocket, Mrs. Everybody.
Oh my God. Yeah, I know. I have something polarizing to tell you and I'm a little nervous how you're going to react. So
go on.
I want, you can give like some kind of reaction if you want to, but I will have to elaborate afterwards. I'm thinking about getting bangs. Not the blunt across the forehead bangs. I'm pondering, I'm toying with the idea of some curtain bangs. I fucking knew that your face had a curtain bang would not quite know what I was talking about. So it's like long bangs. So like this is basically like this piece right here. This is right here. This is basically the length that they would be, but just like a smaller chunk on both sides. What do you think?
I hate like 3 things in this world.
Blonde, bangs.
And tomatoes.
And tomatoes. Fuck!
What are you punishing me for? What did I do wrong?
I just think they look so cute. Here's the thing is that I've got so much breakage happening. Like this little bang section that was kind of bangs happened by accident. I had an incident with a hair dryer where my hair got sucked into the back of it and it like really fucked it up. And so then I had my hair girl kind of even it out. So I have
not
like
the Dyson.
What? No, the Dyson would never. It was actually a really violent hotel hair dryer.
Oh.
Where it sucks in the back. And I don't know how I don't even think I realized that I knew how that worked. And then I very quickly learned that the air does in fact get sucked into the back.
Well, Dyson just like does a great job of hiding how things work. You know, you can stick your hand through fans.
Yes.
Weird.
Fucking anyway, crazy.
Let's go back to you. First off, I want you to know that I support your endeavors no matter what they are.
Bangs, here we come, baby.
And I hope.
You know what? I think that we need to. I made a really brutal mistake of getting like actual side bangs when I was in grade 9. And I remember for all of grade 10, I was in the awkward phase of growing bangs out, which is the worst process in the entire world. But I got like side bangs that like swooped over and like started kind of like near my eyebrow, which is really fucking short. And I vowed in that moment to never cut bangs like that ever again. But these are long, like, you know, maybe we shouldn't even call them bangs. We'll call them long layers, long face framing layers.
I wonder how many people at home are in a relationship where one person is as toxic as you are with this idea.
Long face framing layers.
Are you bored? Like, why are you doing this to me?
It just looks so good. It looks so good.
It looks good.
And I just feel like with my extensions right now, like I think that that's like the extra layer that my hair needs.
Lauren.
Yeah.
My love, if you want to get bangs, get some bangs.
I think I'm going to get me some bangs. And then we can do a whole podcast on how my life has spiraled after I didn't like the bangs that I got. You know what though? I have a tendency. So for example, I got a new set, like a new manicure, and I spend so long, like weeks before picking out the next like set of art that I want. Cause I have like kind of, it's weird. I have like I don't want to say commitment issues because I have a lot of tattoos and like, that's like a commitment. That's a commitment. And so like, I don't have issues with that, but I have issues with like short-term commitment, like listening to a full song, for example, can't make it through a full song.
Between the two of us, we've never listened to the end of a song.
Oh my God. Are you fucking kidding? I've never heard the last 45 seconds of a song in my entire life. No. Never.
Unless it's on the radio.
And no, even then I'll switch stations.
Got it.
Oh, I'll switch. I'll go
like
find it.
Checking out in line. The radio's playing overhead and you're like, could you switch it?
Yeah. Please? Next. But yeah, this is another short-term decision that I really struggle with. And so then I loved the photo, got them done, hated them immediately, was very upset. And also, Jeremy told me they were ugly, and so then I was very sad. And then tell me you did not say that.
They're ugly as fuck. They're terrible looking.
No, they're cute!
It's like someone did half the assignment and left.
Ugh, so rude. I'm so sorry for, wait, I'm gonna, on video right now, if we can just get a super tight shot of the nails. It's like, I don't even know how to describe it. Anyways, but they've really come to grow on me. So like, I wouldn't be surprised if I were to get bangs, hate it for the first like 24, 48 hours, and then be like, oh my God, I love this.
I did notice one of the girls complimented your nails last night.
I have gotten so many compliments. I you know what? It is international. Yesterday was International Women's Day, and I really just am not feeling the love or the support that I should be receiving on the month of International Women's Support.
Really, because last night when I was carrying the team, walking around and being the fucking chauffeur at your women's only event that I was one of six dudes at.
There's more than six dudes there. Eight.
Ten.
At least.
Fine.
At least.
Fine.
So we went to an International Women's Day event last night. And I really have been like making a bigger effort to like go out and network in like women's business things and entrepreneur stuff and whatever. So I actually asked two different girlfriends to go with me first. No one could go. And so I was like, babe, when you can meet in the meeting?
I was third string.
First string for guys though.
Okay.
Because realistically, if Crypto Craig was here, I would have brought him because then I could wing woman right. Him.
Oh my God, Crypto, that would have been his dream.
Also, I was dying at the comments of last week's podcast that we did with Crypto Craig where people were like-
Someone called him a tall glass of water.
Okay, but in that same comment, they're like, I don't know why in my head, Crypto Craig was just like unattractive, unappealing, like just monster or something. They had painted Crypto Craig in their head a lot differently than I think he
I mean, anyone who makes an alliteration of a nickname for themselves-
It's tough. It's tough.
They're not usually
It's an uphill battle proving to be cool.
And how do we know that he just ended up being the world's sexiest man?
Tall glass of water.
Tall glass of water.
Tall glass of water.
That's the compliment that fits his personality more than I could ever imagine.
So perfect. So perfect.
And also, thank you to everyone who educated us on the other version of MLM.
Wow. Yeah. Big learning moment. Men loving men. Did not realize that multi-level marketing, MLM, could also stand for men loving men.
But we found out after 97% of the people that usually watch this podcast.
Yes.
Saw that and immediately go, oh, men loving men, of course.
Yes.
Also, wasn't our title like surviving 15 years of men loving men?
Yes.
Like, like gay bashing on our podcast?
I know. God. I'm sure some people were like, oh my God, it's going to be a juicy podcast.
Or like, oh, it's, yeah. I had no that they were secret homophobic individuals. Wonderful.
Or because we had like a guest in the thumbnail, maybe that like they thought that Craig was going to come on and talk about this like crazy story of like surviving homophobia or something. So anyways, where Craig? Oh, I could have brought Craig to the event last night. So anyways, you were my first pick for guys.
Thank you. And when you say first pick, when everyone turned you down and you were like, yeah. And then you looked up and I was physically there.
Yes.
Okay. You know, I'll take it. Part is, you've been doing great. You did your little, it was a big interview actually the other day, right?
With
a big publication.
Yeah. With Bloomberg.
Great. With Bloomberg?
Yeah. With Bloomberg.
Well, then I'm going to talk about all the articles that aren't out that haven't even been thought through yet. My Bloomberg article, my-
Really?
My Forbes article, really? My money. Well, they haven't asked me yet, but since we can talk about them. You know, fuck it.
Oh, my Forbes article. Yeah. I was like, why don't I know about any of these? That's so fun.
Because, you know, we're still-
I get it.
We're ideating.
In draft. We're Yeah. No, I get it. Collaborative beginning efforts.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So I did a little interview with Bloomberg and I've just been like trying to like be more- I've only got a one more year to make Forbes 30 out of 30. Okay. And so I need to spend this
and
year
I missed it, so
fucking
you gotta, like,
hustling.
Pick up the slack.
I know. It's a lot of pressure. A lot of pressure.
I think you can do it.
I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. I'm going to try though. And the effort as of this week is there.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
So anyways, we went to this this women's networking event and Jeremy was my date and full transparency, just like gonna tell it like it is. I am actual ass at initiating conversation with strangers. I can like once a conversation started, I can talk to almost anyone.
Right.
Like, and I'm totally fine in that environment of like chatting with someone. I'm someone who's like able to ask a lot of questions. And like my mom has always just taught me that like you just ask other people questions because like you're curious. And I've just like grown up being curious about other people. And so I'll ask them about whatever. And usually that's enough to get a conversation started, whether that person has conversation skills or not. You can just keep asking them questions.
Right.
To start a conversation though, I am so fucking scared shitless and just, I don't know how to approach people. I don't know.
You have near paralysis.
Literal paralysis. That is the perfect way to say it.
It's like, it's somehow like when the idea of having to introduce yourself to a stranger comes along, you forget how to stand. Everything becomes weird.
Yes. Oh, I'm like, I'm.
Hey.
pulsating with weird, the weird that is like, it is.
It was as odd and weird as the line that you started our entire relationship with, which was, hey, friend. What a weird way
not
to
great.
Talk to someone you would intros, like to have
I'm not,
sex with.
I'm not good at them. I'm not good at them. I don't know what to do. Even digitally, I know. Hi, friend.
So like, what do you think that's from?
I don't know.
Or have you always been this way?
I mean, like, I've always been like nervous to go up to new people, but I feel like that's pretty normal.
Yeah,
that's
not,
like, I would say that I don't normally have paralysis. I think just like knowing that I have you as a safety blanket probably makes me be a little more.
You have a safety, people have safety nets, but you have a safety blanket?
Yes.
Okay, got it.
Is it not a safety blanket?
Well, a safety net would be
like,
you know,
the fall to
catch,
like,
if you fall. Safety blanket is just.
Well, more like the safety net would, I feel like that'd be like.
What's a safety blanket?
I feel like the safety net is like the analogy. It's like where I would like shoot my shot, but if I don't hit my target, then like I fall into my safety net, which would be you. But I feel like with the safety blanket is that like I can just put you over my shoulders and everything feels a little safer.
Okay. That's
safety
adorable.
Blanket.
No, I would give you a 4 out of 10
on the cell
for the landing. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Is it not safety blanket? Do people not say that?
I'm sure someone has said it. Huh. I say safety net.
Safety net. Safety.
You know what? I'm
blanket.
Sure it's safety blanket and I'm wrong.
Maybe I just love blankets so much that I've like made that part of my lingo. Yeah. Please let me know if
like,
anyone else uses
it's like,
safety
it's like
blanket.
You're my safety squishmallow. You're like, yeah. What?
Baby, you are my safety squishmallow.
Let's go on.
Where was I going with this?
I know, I need to hit the gym.
I mean, like, I feel like growing up though, because I was an only child and my parents sent me to many a summer camp and many a kids club, like on vacation and stuff too. Like I always managed to like make a friend.
Yeah.
But maybe thinking back, maybe I was paralyzed still and someone just approached me because I look so paralyzed and scared.
Right. It's like when you are looking, like when you just look lost in a public place and the person who's like there is
like
shepherding you.
Are you okay?
Ma'am, can I help you find anything?
Yeah, that might have been. I have like this one vivid memory of asking to play checkers with someone at a kids club once on vacation.
Ballsy.
I know.
Can I play checkers with you?
Yeah. Or I was like, can I play the winner or something like that?
Oh.
And I was like, this is a good line. I don't know why I have such a vivid memory of that. But maybe I've just been living in like intro paralysis my entire life.
So, okay. And on top of the fact that I think that like, it kind of matches the rest of your personality. Uh-huh. What's interesting is you are actually good at asking people questions about them.
Oh yeah, totally. That's what I'm most comfortable doing.
Did you notice like last night? And let me take 2 steps back here. Crypto events, how do I describe? Well, crypto events in LA in particular, it's like the because LA is just like a conglomeration of just pretty people all sandwiched together.
Yes.
All trying to use the same highway.
Yes.
And like LA with all the pretty people and the crypto people in the same place.
Very odd combination.
Very odd.
Very odd combination.
Very odd. It's like you speak to people who aren't that great with socializing. Mm-hmm. And they actually don't ask really any questions at all. They just kind of talk.
Oh my God, literally none. Literally none.
Yeah.
I've never been more aware of that until last night. And I was kind of thinking, I was like, maybe just like people are out of practice because like we haven't really been being social for the last couple of years. Sure. Like maybe it's out of practice. But I really did notice that last night too. I was like, no one's really asked, not that like, I feel like, not that I ever am actually that comfortable talking about myself when people ask what I do.
Right.
But it was like, it would be nice to have a little two-sided questions going on. This is difficult.
And like, I'm someone like I'm a selfishly curious individual. Like I'm fascinated with things that I'm semi interested in at all.
Which I mean, like,
don't know.
Being at an event like last night, like you have something mildly in common with almost everyone there.
Right, but no one asked.
But no one asked. It was like, literally no one asked.
It was hilarious because Lauren didn't put my where I worked or what I did on like my information badge, which is Jeremy Lewis. So unless you knew who I am or who I was, like you wouldn't know that I'm in the space at all.
Well,
so,
I just felt like people would be absolute vultures over you if I put that you where you worked.
They would, but also it was hilarious because like they're just talking about crypto, like just right in front of my face. I'm just like, I'm not gonna sit here and tell, like I'm not gonna introduce myself to that.
Yeah, totally. So
and then like towards the end of a some near 30 minute conversation sometimes, like, so like, have you ever done with anything with cryptos before? And I'm just like, yeah, I've tried it. It's hilarious. I found that like so, every single person, 90% of the people, by the way, it's very nice, very sweet.
So but, nice. Like, everyone's just, like, so nice.
That is the common denominator.
Yes.
By far.
Yes, 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 yes.
I would love to watch you, I would love to watch a recording of the room if I was not there and how you would have had to like navigate that.
I thought about the possibility of going by myself after my two girlfriends both were unavailable.
You never go to events by yourself.
Oh, yeah, no. I thought about it and I decided that it would be a no.
I don't actually know. Yeah. I cannot remember an event that you went to by yourself.
There's events that I've shown up to by myself that I know I'll know people at. Like, I don't mind that. But this was like a situation where I knew zero people.
Like, you
I ended up knowing people once I got there.
Right.
Like, just people that I'd like run into before that I'd met. But like, I wouldn't have gone to that. Also, because it's like kind of a new industry for me too. You know what I mean? Like, if it was something like more digital in like YouTube or whatever, like I could probably go somewhere by myself and just like figure it out. But like last night, they also like don't know what this type of community looks like. And I feel like I got a little snapshot idea of a taste of it last night.
Yeah, it was those events not in LA are less aesthetically pleasing.
I can imagine.
Yeah, I
can imagine. There was one incredible guest of honor who had four legs and was so fucking adorable. See, okay, if I had gone to that party by myself, I would have made friends with that dog, probably ended up like making friends with the owner, but just hung out with the dog the entire night.
I can see that.
Yeah, yeah.
By the way, great, great conversation starter.
Oh my God, I literally said to Jeremy, I was like, I would be so social at a party. If you stuck me into anywhere with Moose, thrive. I would absolutely thrive.
That's what guys with great beards always say. They're like, I never have to worry about like making conversation with somebody.
Really? Because
every guy will be like, great beard.
Really?
If you look over the table, a guy you don't know right now.
Okay.
And you look over and you see a guy with a great beard. You just go, great beard.
What makes a good beard? Is it thickness? Is it shininess? What are the characteristics of a good beard?
Listen, there's a lot of tenants that are, you know, kind of going into this whole thing. Okay. I don't personally know them, but you know, I know them when I see one.
Huh.
Yeah. And every guy ever who has a beard and takes the time and everything
like,
put into it.
Does it have to be like is Craig's beard enough of a beard to
No,
that's not a beard.
Close.
Not even close. Okay, that's what I figured.
Not even close. I would never compliment your beard.
Wow.
And it's a fine beard. It's fine. But
it's
like,
a fine beard? Okay.
That's not a conversation starter.
We're talking like Hagrid beard.
Well, I also wouldn't call that a great beard.
Oh my God. See, I'm so
just
stressed.
Length does not mean good.
Oh, well, I don't know. That's why I'm asking. What are the characteristics of a good beard?
It's like the overall aesthetics, the symmetry, the thickness, the sheen, all of it.
The sheen.
All of it.
The sheen.
Or a mustache.
Oh yeah. I mean a mustache, especially with like, the curly corners. You could have a conversation with literally anyone if you had the power of a mustache.
The problem is, and I've done this before, 100% of the times that you start a conversation with somebody with a mustache with little curly ends on it, once you get into that conversation, you realize how stupid of an idea it was because you have nothing in common with that guy.
Right.
Yeah. You know how much I have in common with that guy?
Nothing. Literally nothing.
Nothing. I go like, okay, yeah. Anyway, I got a minute.
Like he wouldn't want to go to the Justin Bieber concert that we were at.
Someone noticed my mustache? By the way, I'm sure there's some mustached people out there that would love Bieber.
Oh, I'm sure.
By the way, Bieber was fantastic.
I said Bieber was so good. I was going to say, we went to the Bieber concert. That was also the first real concert we've been to at Crypto Arena. Right?
You.
What?
I've been.
Who did you go to?
Well, you know, you're with me. Bud Light,
That doesn't count though. That doesn't count. All
Machine
the
Gun
lights.
Kelly doesn't count?
No, there was like a weird, like there was no like stage production. The lights were like kind of on. It was like not the same situation. Also half the stadium was empty.
Apologies to the light designer, but yeah.
Yeah, no, it was like, it felt like when, like not to the full extent of like when the club lights come on at 2 a.m.
No, it felt
like a step before that.
It felt like Coachella during the day.
Yeah, which is a vibe. Let's not shit on Coachella during the day.
1 o'clock.
I don't know. That's harsh. But this was the first time I went to a real concert, I feel like. And the stage production was so, I can't even imagine what his fucking budget is to like have pyro and lights and the beam. He had drones that were going around him, like light drones to like make fun shapes.
Yep.
Things coming down from, up and down from the ceiling rafters. He had a whole airplane at one point.
You have no idea how expensive it is to do like the pyro and confetti is actually one of the most expensive things.
Oh, I believe because I'm sure also the cleanup.
Well, also every event has their own like confetti cleanup
right.
Like fee that you have to just like eat. It's terrible.
Ugh, I was kind of
every artist ever. We want fire. We want confetti. We want this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're like no.
Honestly, gonna be honest, I was a little sad when there wasn't any kind of confetti at the very end.
They needed a $50,000 confetti shower?
Yeah. Are you kidding? If anyone's gonna do it, Justin Bieber's gonna do it. Like, he's just got the biggest budget ever. And so when he didn't go out, on like, I had my phone recording ready for the confetti rain and it just never came and I was really sad.
Maybe he wanted to buy an extra pair of sneakers instead of do the confetti cannon.
Oh, I was sad.
Anyway, you, you were great last night.
Thank you so much.
I think, you know what we should do? We should set a goal and have an exercise of you just trying it out. See, do you not want to be better at like meeting
random people? No, I do. You know what it is? Part of it too is even more awkward because I know how awkward you feel me being awkward about it. You know what I mean?
Like, I don't feel awkward.
No. But like we are acknowledging how awkward I am in this situation. So it makes me even more awkward just thinking about it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But you're in a place with people that you know you have something in common with.
I know. And I also know that I can have a conversation as soon as like the whole opener line is done with. Like I have no issue with that second part. I have no issue with the follow through. It's the start. It's the pickup line.
I will say, I think it is easier to be, to interject yourself into someone else's conversation when you're tall.
Huh.
I feel comfort
in
a room where I don't feel like anything's on top of me.
Also, yeah, that makes more sense. And also too, like this is an analogy that is way, way out of
left I thought field. Mine was left field. This is
left field.
Keep going.
Like, and I say this all the time too when we're driving. When like a big ass semi truck just like pulls into a lane, I feel like they're just not even looking. They're just like, I am so large. I am coming in and you all have to move around me. And I feel like that's probably what it feels like to be tall, like navigating a room like that, is that you just move places and people move around you.
Yeah.
Tell me that I'm not wrong.
I don't think they move around me, no.
Okay, but I feel like if you were the small person, maybe that you would feel like that.
I'm just saying I would check my rearview mirror, despite how big I am.
Okay. Yeah. Your blind spots though? Probably not.
Well, they're my blind spots, so I cannot check.
Did you not learn anything in driving school?
No.
Check your blind spots.
I try.
Okay.
Try.
Anyways, I think you're right. I think probably like the size dominance probably helps you dominate a conversation. Or an intro.
Yeah, I'm just like not bothered by that kind of stuff. Like the only reason I don't go up and talk to people is I'm like, don't feel like it. But like at any point in time, it's like, oh no, you have to actually go talk to that person. Fine.
I think I should make a goal of initiating conversation with one person.
One?
We're gonna start small, what the fuck? One.
We're here for a couple hours.
No, yeah, okay, so one person, if I feel like I've warmed up enough to do another one, maybe, but the goal is one. Next event we go to, I have to do one person.
No, next event we go to, you're doing everyone.
One.
10.
One.
I'll give you 12.
Literally one.
I've already given you my best offer.
So on Saturday, we're going to an event
Five.
With Jeremy and Kelsey.
Fine,
Kelsey,
three.
Kelsey, literally it's one. Like there's no negotiation here. It's one. So we're going to an event with Jeremy and Kelsey.
I'm going to all women's events this month.
Yeah, I know.
It's just women's.
Seriously. It's just women, International Women's Month.
Yeah.
And Kelsey, I think probably, I don't think I've ever been to an event with just her before, but
I'm
going
to go out on a limb and say that she's not going to have a hard time talking to anybody.
I think that she probably has the gift of walking into any conversation and being able to initiate that introduction.
Do you think that there's like, okay, so along with not being weird about going up and talking to people, right? Mm-hmm. What other traits are we going to stereotype and assume that person doesn't have an issue with?
Say that one more time.
So as someone who is not good at walking up to somebody,
yes.
right?
Yes.
What do you think that's tied to? Like, what else do you think that person's not good at that someone
are
who
you,
is?
Are you asking me?
Yeah.
What else? Oh, you know, 100% is that I, even after being a server for 4 years, uh-huh. I still like would rather die than send back food. Unless okay. something's really, really wrong, like, because I know that it's not the server's fault and I still am going to tip them, and the server for the most part is probably going to be very, you know, apologetic and just be like, right. oh, I'll just get it fixed for you, whatever. Inconveniencing anyone to ask them anything.
Okay.
Is one of the things, 100%. And like, it doesn't make any sense because like in a conversation, like when I want to intro myself to someone, realistically, another person at a party is probably like, thankful to have someone else. Like when someone comes up to me and starts a conversation, I'm like, oh fuck yeah. I was like, that's.
Oh, I hate that.
Oh my. Stop. But it's like someone who's like.
I'll initiate. No,
nervous
no.
about that. Like
yeah, I saw you over there.
When someone comes up to me, I'm like grateful for it.
Yeah.
And so I think being on the opposite side of that, I feel nervous that I'm inconveniencing someone or that I'm bothering them. Mm. And I think that sentiment probably carries throughout like my entire life of like not wanting to like the amount of times I think people like me probably get their hair done. And if they don't like something about it, they smile and say, thank you. Leave a fat tip and then go home and then cry.
And cry. Yeah.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah.
I guess I kind of have like the, at events like that, I have the whatever the syndrome is where if you're sitting on a plane with somebody and you're just kind of locked there and like you just spill the deepest, darkest secrets ever because you're never gonna see that person again.
Oh, I have to sit on the aisle seat because even if I had to pee, like having to ask everyone in the middle and the aisle seat to get up for me to go to the bathroom makes me, my palms are getting sweaty just thinking about having to ask everyone to get up for me to go to the bathroom. And I know the logic is there. Like I understand that as soon as we got off the plane or even 10 minutes past that moment that they would never even think about that ever again. But I would sit at the window seat having to like pee so bad that my stomach hurts for probably 25 minutes playing in my head and replaying the scenarios of how I would ask those people or like watching them to be like, oh, like, do I feel like they're done eating their snack? Okay. They just like put their headphones in. Oh fuck. Okay. What if they can't hear me? Do I tap them on the arm? Like, what do I do? Like, and so I would replay those scenarios for like 25 minutes while having to like my body just being in violent pain, having to pee to ask them to get up because it would be inconveniencing them.
Whoa. Okay. Great.
Two types of people.
But going into that real quick. So after a night, like you obviously are, once you get talking, you enjoy it and you have fun, whatever.
Yeah.
Does being social like that drain you? Or does it fill you up?
I'm very much an ambivert.
Okay.
And I'm like the middle of an intro and an introvert and an extrovert. I think it depends on the situation. I think last night, I mean, the night before we both got a shitty sleep. So like I came home and I was like, and then I immediately fell asleep on the couch. Like.
Right. But like last night.
See, it's hard to tell. Cause I think I'm so sensitive to, one, just like the energy around me, but also to like how my body is feeling beforehand. So going into it, knowing that my body already feels tired, like physically, I come out being probably more mentally tired than I would be had I slept really well the night before.
Yeah.
So, cause I think I would come out of that being super energized just by like how many great people I met and how like positive experience it was. But I think because my body was feeling a little run down, I came out of that being like I need silence and I need my bed.
I think you're always fucking exhausted the moment we get out of a social situation. And I don't think there's ever been a time where you've had more energy than when you walked inside. That I can remember.
Wait, more energy than when I walked inside?
Yeah, like you were always, when we walk out of social like scenes, I look at you and you're like, tank is empty.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it depends. I mean, I definitely am not thinking about where my tank is when I'm conversing and being social, but then definitely like when I pull away from it for a minute to like go to the bathroom or like leave, it's definitely the sigh out.
Yeah, no, like, for sure. Like anytime you go to the bathroom, I just assume you're like gonna come back and be like, can we go?
Can we go home now?
Yeah.
Can we go home now?
So like, because me, I'm exact opposite. Like I left that last night, I could have gone out again and talked more.
Jesus Christ.
But I don't know why. Like it's just like talking to people about things that are interesting, like gives me energy.
Yeah, I think it depends what it is. I think that I'm just like so fucking like I know that we joke that I'm sensitive about like my emotions, but I just like I'm sensitive. We're not joking. We talk a lot. We discuss ad nauseum. No, ad nauseum. Ad nauseum.
If you want it to be ad nauseum, no worries.
Ad nauseum. Like how sensitive I am to like emotions. I'm the same way that with like it, I feel like such a fucking douchebag saying like energy. You're like the energy of the people, the energy of the room. But it's true because like even depending on if I were to spend a day with someone whose energy that I get along with really well or someone who's like fucking energy draining, energy vampire.
Energy vampire.
Like I could do the exact same thing and have like similar conversations, but depending on like that person's energy, it's an entirely different experience.
Yeah. But also that's just you, like if you're with someone who's a fucking drain.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a couple of those.
Couple of those.
For sure.
Like having Craig here for fucking 10 days, like he is someone who I am able to recharge my battery around.
Mostly because he's recharging his with you.
Right, exactly, right. Exactly.
Well, you know what? It's actually more about, it's not really about what gives you energy. It's about, or no, I mean, gets it. It really isn't about what drains you. It's about, can you recover the same way? Because if you can recover the same way as somebody, you can always drain it differently.
I think there's two sides to it. Like, I think it's like, how do you recharge and how do you get energy?
Totally.
And also how do you lose energy?
Right. But I think if your wavelengths can match in the way that you fill your cup back up.
Right.
Sustainable.
But I feel like we don't fill our cup back up in the same way and we're sustainable.
I'm still waiting to fill my cup back up.
You fill your cup back on sit around Saturday.
Right.
And sit around Sunday.
I just haven't done those in forever.
Did you do Spring Break? Spring Breakers? Oh man, did you remember that movie Spring Breakers? It was so bad.
So bad.
So good though. So good.
Yes.
In college?
Yeah.
Every year?
I don't know about every
How
year.
Have we not talked about this? Like even just like outside of the podcast, I don't know anything about your spring break life.
I think I did more spring break-ish type stuff like my last 2 years of high school than I really did in college.
Really?
Yeah, I was just so poor in college.
Did Donna fund your spring break in high school?
I found some way to make it happen. No, well, yes. Well, no, because I was working. I was teaching.
Oh, right. Yeah. Right, and you have less expenses too when you're not in college. Yeah. Like and not
I was making more money in high school than I was in college.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Yeah. What did you do in high school?
Like spring break?
Yeah.
Oh.
Where did you go?
Panama City Beach.
In high school?
Yes.
Donna let you get on a fucking plane to go to Panama City in high school?
She wouldn't let me get on a plane. So I had to talk, we had to talk my buddy's dad, who was cool as fuck, into driving us down there.
He drove you down?
Can you imagine driving three high schoolers down to Florida to get fucked up?
Oh my God, how far is that drive?
Fucking
far. That's not close.
No.
Because I'm a professional at US Geography and I know for a fact that it's not close.
It's far as fuck.
Jeremy and I Googled a map the other day of the United States. We Googled, blank map of America. And so it had all the states outlined. Right. Remember, but there was no labels and Jeremy would point to a state and I would be wildly off on what state it was.
It wasn't great. It wasn't your best performance.
Yeah.
But he drove us down. Yeah.
Wow. What a fucking G.
And like when you get out of your little area at a party with people who are in college, when you're not from a party city, you go, oh, I know nothing. I'm not cool and I know nothing.
Whenever I think of spring break, I think of, what's the, jump 20, jump
21 Jump Street,
21 Jump Street, but 22 Jump Street when they did the second one. And they go down to spring break.
Okay.
Have you seen this?
Yeah, maybe.
Oh my God, that's like what I think of. I forget like what city they were in for spring break, but it was just like fucking wild.
Panama City Beach, like they passed some ordinance that like outlaws drinking near a body of water. Some ridiculous like broad thing. And like just no one goes anymore. Like if you're a kid now, you probably know Panama. Yeah, PCB's done.
Whoa.
Yeah.
You can't drink near a body, but there's-
It's like no like- Literally, like they passed or did something that made the whole reason why the city was what it was.
Yeah.
No longer.
Damn.
Yeah.
Oh my God. So did that dad, like, what did he like just let you guys like fucking run wild?
He was fucking in the hotel room kicking it. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Probably smoking a joint and having a beer.
Jesus.
He was
great. You guys just, because like you, did you have fake IDs to get into clubs and stuff?
No, we figured it out.
Huh?
I never had a fake ID. I've never had one.
That's right.
Yeah. But like being tall and having a low enough voice at 17.
Yeah, true.
But
did your friends have that same advantage? Because I feel like most kids aren't tall.
I talked our way into it. I don't know.
Got it.
You find somebody who knows somebody that is, and I genuinely remember like when I got out of my little bubble. Mm. So I come from a city and I don't know why it's like this. And every time I go back, I remember it. For whatever reason, in my little small town of Illinois, right? In Rockford.
What was that?
Well, small town. You would walk into parties, and I swear to God, it was like when you walked in, they said, okay, the theme of this party is every dude wants to hate everybody else.
Yes.
And someone, if one comment could be taken like out of context, there will be a physical altercation here.
Yes.
It's like,
yes.
Why do guys?
Because they're raging with hormones when they're 17.
I'm not kidding.
Raging.
The last time I went back, I went to like a house party when I was in Rockford, I don't know, when in my 20s. I felt this same fucking energy and I'm like, who's trying to fight people right now?
Oh my God. Well, we went to that kind of like sketchy situation when we were back for things. Yeah, I don't know where we were. I literally was like, am I going to die in Rockford tonight? Like,
welcome.
Am I dying in Rockford tonight?
Welcome to 815. but it was like that too in Canada. The guys would just be fucking.
Yeah. I would say so.
What is that?
It's fucking just testosterone flowing out the ass.
Makes no sense.
I know.
No sense.
I think it makes a lot of sense.
So anyway, that probably was the case in college, but I was a fraternity, so we all paid to like each other. So And if a guy that wasn't in the fraternity came in, he quickly was removed. So I don't know if that's just like a younger person thing, but yeah. But spring break, but also, cause you go out and you're at a bar, it's not like you're like trying to fight people. That'd be weird.
I feel like that happens all the time as well. There's always a bar fight.
When was the last time you saw a bar fight?
Not that long ago, I feel like when you're like leaving or going in, someone's always like talking with the bouncer and someone's getting like pulled out kind of. Like, not that they're like having a physical altercation.
Yeah, I mean, late enough the night for sure.
Yeah, but like, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Point is, I don't feel that same pressure in cities. And I remember like going down to spring break and being like, everyone's just having a good time. Everyone's fucked up. Everyone's attractive. Everyone's socially everything. I was like, I can't talk to anybody. I remember feeling awkward.
Paralysis.
Down there. Yeah, I was like, I should be here, but I want to be here. Yeah, it was very weird and endearing.
I can't believe your friend's dad got in a car.
But so spring break in Canada, what does that mean? You just go somewhere less cold?
Yes, which is basically anywhere.
Because there's nowhere warm in Canada in the winter, right?
Oh, no, no, no. Like, right. There's no
warm. Like, was Vancouver the warmest?
It would be warmer. Right. Yes, it would be warmer, but no one's going to fly across the whole.
Right.
Yeah.
So what do you do for spring break?
I mean, I didn't really do spring break, but that was like a personal thing. Not that just like people don't do spring break.
Right.
High school definitely didn't do spring break. Also, we had a March break.
Okay.
Instead of spring break.
Well, I had Easter break because it was a Christian.
Got it.
High school.
Got it. We had Easter break as well too, going to public school. But it was like a 5-day thing, I think, maybe 4 days.
I don't think they call it Easter break anymore, but yeah.
Oh, so we had Friday to Monday off.
Got it. Friday to Monday.
Yeah, for Good Friday, Easter Sunday, and then whatever Monday is, we got that day off too.
You didn't get like any of the weekday day off? Like the week? Like
no.
Monday through Friday?
No, I don't think so.
Only got 2 days off?
Yeah.
Oh, we would get at least a week off.
Damn, I should have gone to Christian school.
Yeah, you should have.
Fuck.
Yeah, Rockford Lutheran. Yeah, we did like 2 weeks for Christmas and a week for Easter.
You got 2 weeks off at Christmas? Maybe I got 10 days off at Christmas.
That's 2 weeks.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Ah.
Ah. The math do be mathing today.
25%.
But I just like didn't do, definitely like none of my
friends.
You just
sat there in Habbo Hotel? Like what?
Loved Habbo Hotel. I don't think any of my friends in high school that were like doing things on spring break, unless you were from like a really rich family and your family was like going to take you somewhere like crazy. We definitely.
You can definitely tell Lauren was not the cool kids in high school. She goes, I don't think any of my friends really do anything for spring break. I'm like, oh no.
I don't think anyone really did. Like no one came back and was like, yo, I did this or whatever. And Facebook was popping. So it would have been on a Facebook album for sure.
Yeah, it was popping. Yeah, I know. And I you're right. It's like the rich kids like and their parents would go fuck off to somewhere nice.
Yeah. And I think that like we normally, like if my parents are going to take me somewhere, I don't think, we traveled a few times probably on March break, but it was much cheaper and a more enjoyable experience for us to go like not on March break.
Right.
And I would just like figure out school or whatever if I was gone, I think. My mom's going to text me afterwards and be like, yeah, you mean we traveled everything on March break.
My mom and I never take a vacation together.
No, does New Orleans count?
As I'm saying, like what, 2 or 3 years ago when we went there for our wedding?
Yeah.
Like, if you count that as a vacation, but like my mom and I never went on a vacation together.
I think that would be an absolute disaster for both of you.
Right. I wouldn't suggest it. Yeah. I'm just like there was no vacation. That didn't happen. Like I would tag along to somebody else's wedding, but like we just never did that.
Huh. My dad never went on vacation until he met my mom.
Yeah.
I did like travels with my family, but I never did like any kind of like party thing. And then when I was in university, I feel like obviously I had lots of friends who like did spring break stuff, but because I was in like a somewhat long distance relationship, I always just like wanted to come home.
Right.
Because my boyfriend at the time lived at home. So I was just like, I want to go home. And that was kind of the extent of it. But even in like, maybe I just like, I wonder if it, no, I don't know. I don't know. I got nothing for you. I got no messy spring break stories for you.
You have no messy spring break stories. Okay.
No messy spring break stories.
So you ever like, went on a trip with your friends in school?
No. I'm also just like an anxious traveler. I'm an anxious traveler.
You always been an anxious traveler? You were an anxious traveler in high school.
Not in high school, but because my boyfriend at the time, this is like very like multifaceted layered, but because my boyfriend at the time in high school or in high school through university had epilepsy, being in Canada, healthcare is free. So if something goes wrong when you have a seizure, you know, you go to the hospital, you get medical help, it's fine. If you fly somewhere and you have a seizure outside of Canada, it's very, very stressful. And it's a very like difficult situation to like navigate. To like get out of country health insurance for a pre-existing situation is very complicated. And so not to say that that was like the start of having travel anxiety, because I'm just like an anxious person to begin with. But I think that there was an added layer of that, like of just like associating travel with being stressed and like high levels of anxiety.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
And so I think it was like a combination of that and then just also being like an anxious individual. But I don't know. There was like a grad trip, I think, that like some people did after high school. But some other health related shit had gone down. And so I had other priorities at the time. And yeah, nothing, got nothing for you.
Party animal. Okay. Well, listen, Panama City Beach was great. All the dumb shit that I found my way into the back of and tagged onto the floor of someone's hotel room. That was great too.
I love that for you.
I think it builds character.
Definitely builds character.
Yeah.
Builds stories for podcasts.
Yeah, like I think everyone needs to be the awkward kid at a party in a place they don't know, people they don't really know, at least once or twice to go, yeah, I'm good on that.
Yeah, I feel like it's like an easier environment to be an awkward kid at a party because like, this is going to sound terrible and we do not rely on alcohol for being social, but people get much easier to talk to when they're just like kind of a drunk mess.
Oh.
You know what I mean? Like it doesn't, even like at the end of any event, like people are much looser. And conversational.
Yeah, that's true. I think that's kind of the whole point of why people are, you know, packed into bars.
Totally.
Trying to meet people.
100%.
Yeah.
100%.
It's like the next easiest thing to swiping around on Tinder.
Yes, just a little sweatier.
Yeah.
Just a little
bit
sweatier.
Humid in there.
It's
yeah.
Just, yeah.
But we have a lot of travel coming up.
I know, oh my God.
Let's see, we got Vegas.
Just for a night.
We got Vegas. We got New Orleans.
We have a wedding coming up in a week and a half. I'm so excited. We've never been to a real wedding together. And we have so many in this next like 4 months.
Yeah, we did go to a paper signing event.
We went to a paper signing event, yes.
Let's keep you in America event. I might go to Korea.
Maybe.
Miami.
New Orleans. What's in Miami?
Already said New Orleans. F1.
Oh my God, Jesus. When's that again?
May.
Okay. I got to update my calendar. Oh my God. We need to get pre-recording on these podcasts. Oh my God. Or we got to learn how to pod on the go.
We always say we're going to do that.
Pod on the go?
We're like, yeah, we'll podcast there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we had so much there. We would not have been able to fit a single microphone in the car when we went to San Diego last week.
No, I wish that we were so incredibly wealthy and successful. We could just like, you know how like our friends will just like find like somebody else's studio that doesn't give it to them.
Yeah, to just like use.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah, but I feel like you're too particular about like all of like the tech stuff for you to be happy with that.
I mean, if someone had a studio, I wouldn't care.
Yeah? I'm sure we can find a studio then somewhere.
No, they're great.
Okay, let's do that then.
Let's do that then.
Pod on the go.
Pod on the go?
Pod on the go.
And then when we get there, we're like, I don't want to do that.
Yeah, I don't want to do that. Exactly.
Fine.
Coachella?
Yeah, we got to figure that out.
Coachella?
We got to figure that out. When did I have to start doing all the planning things?
I did my 3 years of being the event ticket finder. And now we're doing a little, I'm tapping out, you're tapping in, and we're doing a trade-off. Then another 3 years, we can do another swap. It's time to pay your dues, babe.
Great.
Got to pay your dues. So I'm having a little bit of a moose meltdown, a little bit of a Bubby's meltdown right now.
Lauren, he's fine.
I'm just a hypochondriac.
Lauren got a pimple drained on his neck and thinks he has like
it's
fucking-
It's not a pimple.
It looks like a fucking
it's
pimple.
It's not a pimple.
What is it?
So Moose has had this little like pea-sized little bump or lumpy or whatever in his neck. And like he is being like a bully breed. He's allergic to everything. And so he gets like different shots 4 times a year, whatever, for allergies. And so like, I feel like it gets a little bigger when he's like breaking out in hives. And so it not that it's ever gone away, but I also probably should have just gotten it checked out earlier. And so now I'm just like spiraling in guilt that like-
I cannot believe when I met you, you did not have insurance for this dog.
Yes, I did.
When I met you, you did not.
Pet insurance?
You didn't have it.
Yes, I did.
I almost could swear. I'd be like, you don't have pet insurance? I'm like, I don't know if I have it. Maybe. I was like,
oh my God, no. We have pet insurance.
Oh, I know we do.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah. No, you have to get it when your dog is young.
Well, I mean, it's supposed to, yeah.
Yeah.
It gets very expensive. Not
right.
To.
Or else it sometimes just evens out of just,
yeah,
not having pet insurance.
Anyway, so he's going
to
be fine.
So Moose has got a little neck thing. And he went to the vet today and they, fuck? I'm just so nervous. They had to send away his little sample. Okay, wait, let me read the exact thing that the vet said.
They drained his zit and they're gonna go send it away and they're gonna come back and like, yeah.
Okay, they extracted some liquid from his bump. She took a look. She said, but some of the cells she was familiar with already when she looked under the microscope. So that's good.
She's familiar with certain cells.
Yeah, fuck yeah, she's a vet. She should be.
I know, but can you imagine like-
I want her to look at all the cells and know all the cells.
Like, I can't imagine like, oh yeah, I know those guys. Yeah, those are fine.
It's the mitochondria.
Yeah. We're so dumb. We're like,
And she's sending them to a lab. We should know 3 to 10 days. That's so fucking long. She said, everything is most likely fine. He's not showing other symptoms. It's probably just oil buildup or a fatty pocket, but wants to send out to triple check.
I assure you, it's a fatty pocket.
I think I'm just spiraling too because Halsey's dog passed away and he was only-
Lauren.
It was just like a freak thing where he was like totally fine. And then at 5 years old, just like he was gone within 2 weeks.
Who's this in five? 4.5. Or 3/4.
He's going to be 5 next month.
Lauren, he is fine. He's never been better.
He's spiraling.
He's in peak physical condition.
He's in peak physical condition, obviously. Yes.
He's going to be fine. But I think it's a very common thing to be worried about your pup.
And oh my God. Yeah. Are you kidding? I just like have never been so frustrated not being able to speak English, like, or not speaking the same language. You know what I mean? I wish to be like, I just want to know. Just want to know if he's okay.
Lauren and Moose spend 25 hours a day together. It is insanity. It's adorable.
It's adorable. Yeah, yeah, it's great.
You've created the world's most Velcroist Velcro dog. What's funny is like when we leave him here, like it doesn't seem like he misses us when we get back, but when he knows that we are here, he would like to be with us.
Yes.
Which is adorable.
It's adorable. Right. He's also a dog. I feel like some Velcro dogs like need to be like physically on top of you, where Moose is happy being near you.
You know, Moose like tends to find whatever corner I need to not have a dog on, he usually sits there and looks pretty comfy and I go,
it's perfect.
Why there?
It's like, perfect.
Like if the laptop is here,
yeah,
he could be anywhere, but instead of just like here.
I'm yeah,
like,
yeah, of course.
That's fine.
With a tail across the keyboard.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's perfect. But yeah, so my mom has assured me that my dad has a fatty bump on his back and he's fine. So Moose will probably be fine.
Did he get it drained?
No, he doesn't get it drained, but they did tests on it. They're like, yeah, it's just a fatty lump.
It's a fatty lump, sir.
Well, yeah, he's like, we can take it out if you want. He's like, but it's just a fatty lump. And it looks like it's on
the guy with an ingrown hair for like 9 years in my leg.
I want to take that. We actually bought one of those things where it's like the zoom in
cameras,
thingy for your leg. I want to.
You know what? Let me just have about 9 whiskeys and you can hop into it.
I have something very important to ask you. And this is how we will end this episode. Do you think that there are more doors or wheels in the world? More doors or wheels in the world? TikTok right now is having, it's basically like a literal, like remember the blue or gold dress?
Mm-hmm.
TikTok is basically having an entire meltdown over doors versus wheels.
I know the answer to this.
Okay, go ahead.
Wheels.
Okay, and why?
Because not just about cars. I'm looking at 8 wheels right now.
Right.
Maybe more.
Okay.
If you think about every single product that is mobile, and no, they probably don't have one wheel, have a couple, and all the spares, the ones in the, you know, the lot, the ones that are about to be sold, gotta be wheels.
Okay, okay. I think that I'm also on team wheel.
Team wheels, yeah.
I think I'm team wheel as well, too. But here's some opposing opinions that really did shift my perspective. So at first I was like, okay, doors, like obviously just like in a door frame, like that's a door. But then someone was like, okay, well, if you have an advent calendar, 25 doors. And I was like, oh, fuck, you're right. Like a fridge. Okay, think of all the doors like in a fridge.
That's a flap.
It's a cabinet. Okay, so is it a flap or is it a door? Because it's like kind of a little door.
Advent calendars not count.
That's a little door that you open a little door.
Does not count.
Okay, okay. Fridge door. Door, right?
If it's on a hinge.
Door.
Door.
Okay, so all the cabinets would be doors. It's on a hinge.
Yeah.
So a car technically would have 4 doors and 4 wheels. So like, because someone was using like the example of an office. So it's like, if you think about an office, I guess if it was an open space office, there'd be a shit ton more wheels because there's no doors.
Ton of wheels.
But if like every little office.
Open floor plans really killed the door.
Really killed the door. Yeah, exactly. But if everyone had a little office set up and you had little cabinet doors on your office and you had 4 little doors on everything. And like all the mini fridges, all the doors like in the kitchen, the doors in the stalls of all the large bathrooms. Lot of doors.
Yeah. No, I hear you.
Yeah.
I hear you.
So TikTok is going to absolute, they're tearing each other to shreds over doors versus windows right now.
Yeah. No, I don't disagree. And by the way, you're right. A lot of times where there's wheels, there's doors.
Yeah. I know. It's really stumped me over the last couple of days.
If you are in Latvia, I hope you have a good week. If you're in the rest of the world, including Latvia, I hope you tell us below what team you're on and why. And if you all are also painfully social awkward. So awkward. Socially awkward.
Bye. Bye.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.